This is Bible Basics. This lecture is called Belief in Practice, Knowing God. Practicing the presence of God. Believing in God's very existence of itself affects a man's behaviour. The living God is a phrase often used by men in prayer or in desperate straits. God is. He is the living one, and he therefore is a rewarder of those who seek him. If there is no God, everything is possible. And the reverse is so true. Seeing there is a God, all aspects of life come under his imperative. All religions, apart from the true religion, place a must over God. To claim to be able to know the one true God is too much for them. So they've created false doctrines to cover him up, to turn him into what they would like or wish him to be. Some have claimed that the God people have in their minds is essentially a projection of their own father figure. If their father was abusive and angry, then this is how they see God. If their father was kind and loving, then this they decide is what God's like. Freud's theory is probably true for most people in this world who claim a belief in God. The false idea that God is an angry old man appeased by the blood and violent punishments of his son seems to me to be rooted in the poor parental experience of some theologians. They have no experience of practicing the presence of God as Father. This is not the God revealed by an open-minded Bible study. For those who know and believe the true God of the Bible, God is God. Who he is revealed in his word, and we must resist the temptation to project onto him our own perceptions of a Father. One of the most tragic misunderstandings of all time is the Trinity, which claims that there are three persons in one Godhead. Trinitarian theologians borrowed a word, persona in Latin, prosopon in Greek, which was used for the mask we kept up for on stage. But for us, God doesn't exist in personas. He exists as God the Father, the real true God, who isn't acting, projecting himself through a mask, playing a role to our eyes. The God who is so crucially real and alive, there at the other end of our prayers, pulling at the other end of the cord. What we know of him in his word is what and who he really is. It may not be all he is, but it's all the same the truth of the real and living God. And this knowledge should be the most arresting thing in the whole of our existence. So often the prophets use the idea of knowing God as an idiom for living a life totally dominated by that knowledge. The new covenant, which we have entered, is all about knowing God. Jeremiah 31:34 comments, "They shall all know me, for I will forgive their iniquity." The knowledge of God leads to repentance, real repentance, and reveals an equally real forgiveness. It's possible for those in Christ to be in practice not to know God at all. Thus, Paul exhorted the Corinthian church, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God." That's 1 Corinthians 15:34. The knowledge and practice of the presence of God ought to keep us back from sin. All too easily, we can think that we believe that God, but what we need to know, of course, is not just that God exists, not just that beyond the seeming brightness of the stars there is a cosmic intelligence of some kind that keeps the whole sky going, but that there is a God right there in the thick of our everyday lives. It is not objective proof of God's existence we want, but whether we use religious language for it or not, the experience of God's presence. This is the miracle we're really after. And that is also, I think, the miracle we really
really get. To this, I for one can say amen. For it is in the apparent trivia of life that we see providence the most clearly, hour by hour. It can be that we accept God's existence without really believing that He is, therefore, all-powerful, and that all His attributes which the Bible reveals are actually functional and real for us today. The unfaithful captain of 2 Kings 7 verse 2 mocks Elisha, saying, if the Lord should make windows in heaven by this thing be, He forgot that there are windows in heaven. Genesis 7 verse 11, Malachi 3 verse 10, to which blessing can be given. He believed in God's existence, but he didn't think this God could do much, and he doubted whether he would ever practically intervene in human affairs. We must be aware of this same tendency. Faith. Many times, the idea of your Father which is in heaven is used in the context of faith in prayer being answered. Matthew 7:11 and a number of other passages. It's as if the reality of God actually existing in heaven in a personal form should be a powerful focus for our prayers. We have the highest imperative to develop into that which bears God's moral image, seeing we are made in His physical image, for God is a personal being. Exactly because your hands have made me and fashioned me, God asks for strength to put God's moral image. Give me therefore understanding that I may learn your commandments. Psalm 119, verse 73. The reality that He truly exists in a personal form can be almost terrifying when first grasped. I think it's worth all of us pausing to ask the most basic question. Do we really believe that God exists? Do we believe in a personal God? Or merely in the God idea? The Jews must have been shocked when the Lord Jesus told them to believe in God in John 14. For there were no atheists among them. What Jesus was saying was that what their faith was in the God idea and not in the real God. For if they believed the Father, they would accept His Son. We must ask whether we feel any real passion for Him, any true emotion, any sense of spiritual crisis, of radical motivation. Consider how the prison keeper rejoiced greatly having believed in God. Acts 16, verse 34. He was unlikely to have been an atheist. Atheism wasn't very common in the first century. But he grasped for the first time the real import of a real and relevant faith in the one true God as a personal being. Inspiration to dynamic living. In passing, I would argue that the false Trinitarian perception that there are three personas in the supposed Trinity has led to a denial of God the Father being a real life person with all the unique individualities that attach to a person. The fact that God is a person means that who we are as persons, our being as persons, is of the ultimate importance. Having a personal relationship with a personal God means that we, in the process, develop as persons after His image. For there is something magnetically challenging about being in relationship with Him. We are changed from glory to glory by simply beholding His face and inevitably reflecting the glory there, which glory abides upon us in the same way as it stuck to the face of Moses even after his encounters with the angel of Yahweh, 2 Corinthians 3:18-21. And yet, we live in a world which increasingly denies us ultimate privacy or isolation. The loudness of the world is all permeating, all intrusive, to the point that we can feel unable to separate ourselves at any time from the world to which we belong. We just can't seem to get away from it all and be with God, no matter where we go on holiday, with whom we go, even if we slip off for an hour to be quiet alone in the local park. But ultimately, I believe we can separate from the world's endless call and insistent pull, even if we're stuck with an unbelieving or unhelpful partner, sniffly kids, long hours at work, the TV's always on, the phone's always ringing, because we are unique and individual persons who can personally relate to the personal God and His Son, thus finding the ultimate privacy and isolation which being human in this world appears to preclude. But further, it's actually in the very relevant part of our mundane, frustrated experience in this world that we can come to know God, and in which God reveals Himself to us. And how does all this happen in practice? To experience God is to know Him. So often the prophets speak of knowing God as meaning to experience God, because God is love. To love is to know God. 1 John 4, verse 8. Quite simply, how deeply we have loved, and I'm speaking of love in its biblical sense, is how deeply we have known God, and vice versa. And that love is worked out in the very earthliness and worldliness of human life in practice.